Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word, his promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus, the kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and all his demonic assignments, you need to be part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational passage. Please go to Romans chapter 1. We'll be reading Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment. To everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek Gentile. Verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith, as it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you were not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We had just finished examining chapter 6, verse 17, when I ran out of time. So let's go to Book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 18. As a reminder, the major topic of chapter 6 is believers are dead to sin, alive to God. Verse 18, I'm going to read from the Bible. And having been set free from sin, you have become the slaves of righteousness, of conforming to God's will and purpose. Here's my comment regarding verse 18. As Christians, we are slaves of righteousness. In other words, right standing with God, conform to God's will and purpose. And God's will and purpose is only good and life-giving to those who obey His word. So it is a blessing to be under the word of God. Let's go on to verse 19. The Bible says, I am speaking in familiar human terms because of your natural limitations, your spiritual immaturity. For just as you represented your bodily parts as slaves to impurity and to moral lawlessness, leading to further lawlessness, so now offer your members, your abilities, your talents as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification, that is, being set apart for God's purpose. Here are my comments regarding verse 19. As children of the Most High God, we must offer our body, abilities, and talents as slaves to righteousness. We are to share the good news of Jesus Christ by word and deed. We are the light of the world. Sinners will never come to Christ if we do not let them see God's goodness through our life. We are God's ambassadors, representing the kingdom of God on earth. And it is a blessing to be under the protection and provisions of a living God when we are obedient to His word. All right, let's continue with verse 20. The Bible says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You had no desire to conform to God's will. Here's my comment regarding verse 20. Sinners are slaves of the sin nature. Sinning is their nature. They have no desire or understanding of why obeying God's word is good for them. Let's continue with the Bible. Verse 21 says, so what benefit did you get at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? None, for the outcome of those things is death. Here's my comment regarding verse 21. There is no benefit to sinning, because the wages of sin is death, both physical death and spiritual death. Let's continue with the Bible. Verse 22 says, but now since you have been set free from sin and have become willing slaves to God, you have now benefit, resulting in sanctification, being made holy and set apart for God's purpose. And the outcome of this is eternal life. Here's my comment regarding verse 22. Obedience to God's word results in sanctification. And being set apart for God's plan and purpose not only brings eternal life, but prosperity, spirit, soul, and body here on earth. Life in Jesus is joy unspeakable. Amen. Let's read the last verse in chapter 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God, that is His remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's my comment regarding verse 23. In conclusion, sin brings death to all who continually participate in ungodly living. Those who choose to live in Jesus are assured of abundant life here on earth and eternal life with the Heavenly Father in the hereafter. And I just want to say for myself, as personal experience, I have been living in Christ for some years now, and there is no better way. There is no better way to live out a glorious life but in Jesus. So thank you, Jesus. All right, that concludes chapter number 6 of the book of Romans. Let's continue with Romans chapter 7. In my Bible, there is a title beneath the chapter that says, Believers United to Christ. So that will be our major topic for this chapter. Romans 7, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, Or do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction to rule over a person as long as he lives. Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Paul is addressing the Jews who were once under the Old Testament and therefore subject to the law. He is admonishing them that the law once practiced no longer has rule over them, because as Christians, we have died in Jesus and are now resurrected in Him. We are not to go back to practicing the law, which was completed in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. Amen. Let's go on to verse number 2. The Bible says, For the married woman, as an example, is bond and remains bond by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released and exempt from the law concerning her husband. Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. Then to make his point crystal clear, Paul uses a natural example of this spiritual truth. In a marriage covenant, the husband and wife are bound together for life, by not only the laws of the land, but by God's law regarding marriage. And God's marriage bond should be till death do us part. All right, let's go on to verse number 3 in the Bible. Accordingly, she will be designated as an adulteress if she unites herself to another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law regarding marriage, so that she is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Here's my comment regarding verse number 3. Paul goes on to explain the consequences of uniting with another if the spouse is still living. The wife would be considered an adulteress, and under the law, she would be stoned to death. However, if her husband dies, she would be free to marry another. I also want to read the footnote in my Bible, in my study Bible, regarding this particular verse. They have highlighted adultery, and this is what this particular Bible says regarding this verse. In this passage, Paul uses the marriage relationship as an illustration of the believer's relationship to the law in Christ. A wife cannot leave her husband and marry another without committing adultery. But if her husband is dead, she is free to marry another. In the same way, believers must count the law reconciled with God by works dead in order to marry Christ and have a new life. Believers cannot live by the law and by grace any more than a woman can have two husbands. I think that was an excellent example in the natural, and I hope that helps explain that verse more clearly. Let's go on to the Bible and read verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, Therefore, my fellow believers, you who died to the law through the crucified body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Let me read my comments regarding verse number 4. Christians have died to the law. We now belong and live in Jesus, and our life in Jesus should bear fruit or good works for God. All All right, let's go back to the Bible. Let's read verse number 5. Verse 5 says, when we were living in the flesh, trapped by sin, the sinful passions which were awakened by that which the law identifies as sin were at work in our body to bear fruit for death, since the willingness to sin led to death and the separation from God. Here's my comment regarding verse number 5. Paul reminds us of the condition we once were subject to live under. As sinners, we were living in the flesh, trapped by the sin nature and committing sins unto death. Moreover, we were separated from God and under the control of Satan. We were headed to hell. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse number 6. But now we have been released from the law and its penalty, having died through Christ, to that by which we were held captive, so that we serve God in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. Here's my comment regarding verse number 6. Again, Paul tells us that we have been released from the law and its penalty. Those of us that have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord have been made new by the Holy Spirit and reunited to the Heavenly Father. Christians have been reconciled by Jesus to God, our living Heavenly Father. Amen. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse number 7. Verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, if it had not been for the law, I would not have recognized sin, for I would not have known, for example, about coveting what belongs to another, and would have had no sense of guilt. If the law had not repeatedly said, you shall not covet. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 7. The law is not sin. The law was given to man so that we would know right from wrong. Sin kills. So God gave us the knowledge and then the option to do right and live. The law was man's tutor until the time our Messiah could complete his assignment and give us eternal life through the gift of salvation for once and for all. All right, let's read verse number 8 from the Bible. It says, but sin, finding an opportunity through the commandment to express itself, produced in me every kind of coveting and selfish desire. For without the law, sin is dead. The recognition of sin is inactive. All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 8. Man's sin nature is ruled by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all leading to destruction. Without the law, man would not be able to judge what is or not sin. More importantly, man would not be able to fellowship once again with our living God. All right, let's move on to verse number 9. The Bible says, I was once alive without knowledge of the law, but when the commandment came and I understood its meaning, sin became alive and I died, since the law sentenced me to death. Here's my comment regarding verse number 9. Listener, pay close attention. I do not agree with this Bible's translation of this verse. Here's the reason why. Because the law does not sentence me to death, sin does. Keep in mind that in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam that on the day he disobeys his commandment and eats from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would surely die. God warned Adam not to eat of this tree and then told him the consequences of disobedience. The law doesn't kill. Disobeying the law kills. Family, keep that in mind when you make choices that are contrary to God's word. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 10. Verse 10 says, and the very commandment which was intended to bring life actually proved to bring death for me. Let's read my comment regarding verse number 10. Paul is expressing his humanity in this verse because just like Adam, he chose to disobey the commandments of God. The Old Testament law was harsh, but it had to make do until our Redeemer could save us through grace. Today's Christian is in a better position and lives under a better covenant because of the work Jesus completed on our behalf. All right, let's read verse number 11 from the Bible. It says, "For sin, seizing its opportunity through the commandment, beguiled and completely deceived me, and using it as a weapon, killed me, separating me from God." Here's my comment regarding verse number 11. Here Paul is confessing to us his shortcomings, inferring how he was trapped by the law which he once used to persecute and imprison Christians. Paul was sincere, but sincerely wrong, and God got his attention on the road to Damascus. Amen. All right, let's continue with the Bible. I'm going to read verse number 12. "So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good." Here's my comment regarding verse number 12. The law is holy, righteous, and good for those that obey its commandments. Unfortunately, too many chose to disobey, but God already had the eternal solution in Jesus, and as a result of his grace and favor over his creation, we now have eternal life in Jesus. All right, let's go to the Bible and read verse 13. It says, "Did that which is good, the law, then become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, in order that it might be revealed as sin, was producing death in me by using this good thing as a weapon, so that through the commandment, sin would become exceedingly sinful." Here's my comment regarding verse number 13. God's Old Testament law became a weapon against disobedient man. Just like our nation's laws become a death sentence to those who choose to break the law. The law is made for the lawless. You can find that scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Now let's continue with verse number 14. Right above verse 14 in my Bible, there is a subtitle that says, "The Conflict of Two Natures." So in the following scriptures, we're going to see that there is a conflict between two natures, and these scriptures that we're going to read will address that fact. So verse 14 from the Bible says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, worldly, self-reliant, carnal, and unscriptural, sold into slavery to sin and serving under its control." Let me read my comment regarding verse 14. We are a tripart being. We are spirits made in the image of God. We possess a soul, and we live in a body made of flesh and blood. The scriptures tell us that we must renew the mind with the word of God so that the spirit of man can control the flesh and keep it in subjection to God's word. Paul is warning us that the flesh will rebel, even as a Christian, because the body is not new. Only the spirit is new, made new in Jesus. It is our recreated spirit that must keep our soul and body under control. Let's continue with verse number 15. The Bible says, "For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered by them. I do not practice what I want to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity." Here's my comment regarding verse number 15. Paul admits that he does not practice what he wants to do, but rather he does what he hates. Again, we must individually identify our shortcomings and then will to do right with the help of the Holy Spirit. Practicing to do right is a choice and is developed over time and effort. Christians are in control of our soul and body, not God or Satan. So our spirit must will to make the soul and body line up with God's word. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse 16. Now, if I habitually do what I do not want to do, that means I agree with the law, confessing that it is good, morally excellent. Here's my comment regarding verse 16. When we habitually sin, we are saying that we have not been set free in Jesus from the sin nature, because it is the sin nature that causes us to sin. As Christians, we have the right and authority to say no to sin and yes to obeying God's word. We have been given the same authority, dominion, and power as Jesus, who is sinless. Family, my time is up. Please come back next week as we continue our study on the book of Romans. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.